Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Welcome to Franchise Interviews, an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 15 years now, we've been asking the Franchepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. Well, we're meeting with Scott Henderson of the Salad Station. And in 2012, founder and president Scott Henderson envisioned the concept of a salad restaurant providing fresh local produce combined with fast and friendly service. And we're going to talk to Scott about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we have a great show.
Franchise Teacher.
Would you like to know how to franchise your concept or grow your franchise business?
Meet the experts at Franchise Teacher.
The goal of Franchise Teacher is to teach, coach, consult, and advise. The team of experts at Franchise Teacher will evaluate your business model and present you with a winning business strategy.
Franchise Teacher will help you decide whether or not your concept works and if it's franchisable. Franchise Teacher is proud to have over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors.
Franchise Teacher are developers of over a dozen franchise systems, which include brick and mortar as well as home-based concepts of nearly 3,000 combined franchise locations.
Whether you need to add more units or get more customers, Franchise Teacher can help. We will teach.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn our proven system.
Coach.
Franchise Teacher will help you provide a game plan to succeed.
Consult.
Franchise Teacher will make sure you stay on track.
And advise.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn from our over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors. Take advantage of our free, no-obligation phone consultation. Simply go to franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
That's franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
Hi, this is Connie McDermott, Administrative Assistant for Franchise Interviews, LLC, and you're listening to Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 15 years now, we've been asking the entrepreneurs a one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. As we were saying, we're meeting with Scott Henderson of the Salad Station. And in 2012, founder and president Scott Henderson envisioned the concept of a salad restaurant providing fresh local produce combined with fast and friendly service. Hi, Scott. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Marty. Thanks for the invite. Glad to be on to share a little bit about the salad business.
Thank you, Scott. This is my pleasure. I thought we can maybe start off and tell our listeners where you're calling from today, Scott.
Yeah, calling from our support team's office here in Hammond, Louisiana. We're about located about 45 miles north of New Orleans.
Oh, good. Fantastic. How's the weather there today, Scott? Is it warming up a bit?
Yeah, it's been pretty good spring weather. See the flowers blooming. This week has been a pretty good day. I do believe we have some bad weather coming in tomorrow. Potentially is what I've been seeing, but so far it's been a pretty week.
That's fantastic. Maybe, you know, Scott, I was thinking, you know, we can go back to, you know, the beginning of the salad station, you know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, we can go back to 1943 with your grandfather, or we can go back to 2012, either or. But, you know, maybe you can tell, you know, a little bit about the history of the salad station and how it got its start.
Yeah, no, I'll take you back real briefly. So we're just a Louisiana vegetable farming family. My late grandfather that you mentioned started a 20-acre farm. Today, my uncle and my cousins have grown the farm to be the largest vegetable farm in Louisiana, La Isa Produce Farms. About 30 years ago, our family, led by my mom, decided to expand into the side of vegetables and open large open-air produce markets. That name is Berrytown Produce. Now Berrytown is much more than a produce market.
Right.
In 2007, I was working for my mom and my family at Berrytown. I was actually doing a wholesale produce route, delivering produce to restaurants, and had a route throughout our local town, delivered produce to, from Berrytown to all the restaurants. And one of my better restaurants one day stopped ordering produce from me. So after a week or two, I said, let me go pay them a visit and just to see why they stopped ordering produce from me.
Right.
I was young at the time. And when I went there, they were closed. And so I called the owner just to check on them. And on that call, he said, well, how about you buy my restaurant? And so considered it, and at age 19, I opened my first restaurant, which happens to be a steak and seafood restaurant. So that's kind of how I got in the restaurant business, from the farming business and the retail. And several years of hardship with that business, and several years later, that we're proud of, it's now an award-winning steakhouse here in our hometown. So that's how I got my history. Didn't know anything about the restaurant business. I only knew about farming and selling produce, nothing about restaurants. And but at the age of 19, I went to, I guess, the School of Hard Knocks and learned the restaurant business side of it. And so then in 2012, that's when Salad Station began. So in 2012, I approached my mom in the back of our warehouse here at Berrytown and said, hey, I have a vision of a restaurant combining kind of our family's expertise in produce and with now my experience in the restaurant concept. And little did I know, she had always envisioned a type of restaurant like that, like Salad Station. And she said, and we never communicated that to each other. And she was immediate, let's do this together. Let's do this as a hobby. You know, we had successful restaurants and businesses in the farm, and, but she was like, let's do this. And, so then the hard pitch in 2012 with my, when it came to my dad, which is our CFO of all of our family businesses. And my dad said, you know, you got to sell 62 salads a day to pay your bills. And, and I don't think there's 62 people in Hammond that's going to eat salads in our hometown. And I was 25 at the time, and we had our other businesses, and we, me and my mom both knew that we were going to be customers. You know, we loved the concept. We thought there was a need to eat healthy in our town, and eat a very accessible way of eating healthy. And finally, I went to my mom and said, I'm going to do this. And she says, well, I'm with you. And I said, we need to know if this thing has legs. And I know we would be customers, and let's see if there's more than 62 people that would be customers. We did it to bring value to our town, and that was the foundation of it. And we opened in 2012, and 3 or 4 days after opening, it wasn't 62 people; it was 400 people trying to eat every day. And
that's
amazing. We knew that and that was the launch of Salad Station, and we started kind of quickly growing it. And it wasn't because of the numbers; it was because we saw how much value it brought to our town, and how people were saying, we need a fast way of eating healthy. And then we started looking at neighboring towns like, well, let's go bring this to the neighboring towns too.
Right.
And so that's the foundation, was we were supplying something that was needed. It wasn't necessarily to bring more wealth or value to our life. It was to bring value to our towns and communities that we live in.
Wow. I've been doing the show 15 years, Scott, and that's become one of my favorite stories now. You know, I mean, just the way you tell it, you know, I mean, it's an amazing story. It seems like, you know, you were destined to become an entrepreneur, you know, at a very young age. And what I love, you know, about your business, I'm sure we'll talk about it, though, is just, you know, I love the story with your mom, you know, and how you went into business with your mom. You know, you didn't know that she had the same vision, you know, and that's amazing. And it seems to me that it's a family atmosphere when we're talking about the salad station. I mean, this is a very big part of your culture, isn't it?
It is. It goes all the way to the foundation of
yeah.
when we said, okay, well, let's do this. We said, okay, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this not only for the family aspect of what the dining experience is on the consumer side,
mm-hmm.
but what is it like on our team member side? So my
right.
steakhouse, every holiday is the busiest day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Every night is a 11 or 12 o'clock night where you have young team members that need to go to school the next day or college, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is, late rolling silverware. So we said, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this as a hobby. If this is going to be a hobby, we're going to make this our dream job. And,
right.
and we're big on family. We're close family. Everyone in our family works for our family business. So we're
wow.
built on family. We all support each other. So if we're going to open a business, we wanted to be family friendly, not only for our consumers, but for our
mm-hmm.
team members. We didn't want late nights. We didn't want to be open on Sundays.
Right.
So the whole business was built on the family aspect. Now, in 2012, we didn't build this to franchise, but
mm-hmm.
then when we started thinking about franchising, the business was built to be a family-friendly franchise for the franchisee as well. So the whole concept and foundation was built on family.
And I imagine being closed on Sundays too. I mean, that sends a message right there. And I would imagine, you know, as I was reading about all of this, Scott, you know, about your model, I said, well, this is really very exciting. I imagine that it draws in certain types of franchisees, perhaps, you know, is you know, and I'm sure, again, we'll get to this, but franchisees who have the same values as you do.
It does. It's, you know, it's funny that you said that because it seems like on Discovery Days, and for people who don't know what a Discovery Day is,
mm-hmm.
and that might be listening, Discovery Days is where, you know, potential prospects that want to learn more about you come in and learn about us.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, before, I guess, we didn't, you know, our brand recognition wasn't there. Part of Discovery Day was closed on Sunday. But I would say the passion from the people in the room and people looking at Salad Station, that wasn't as high up on the list. What's funny is the more and more people know about Salad Station, they know that's part of the business model. They come in as that's a top thing for them. And as we explain it on Discovery Days, as look, we're a faith-based family.
Mm-hmm.
We are, but that's not the main purpose of being closed
right.
on Sundays. Bottom
mm-hmm.
line is we opened another business and we opened it to be our dream job. And my mom and I would never tell somebody to do something we weren't ready. We didn't want to do ourselves, and we no longer
right.
wanted to work on Sundays.
Sure.
So if we were going to open a business, we weren't going to tell our team members to work on Sundays. We weren't going to tell franchisees they have to work on Sundays. We did it because we're not going to tell somebody else to work when we don't want to work, and we didn't want to
right.
work on Sundays anymore in this business. And that has become a big thing for
mm-hmm.
potential franchisees.
Right.
And as we described the benefits of it, and we didn't really know the benefits at the time, we did it based on our own interests, almost as
right.
a selfish thing to our better lifestyle. But
right.
as you talk through the benefits of it and the opportunity for team members to recharge their batteries, to give franchisees a full day of rest where you don't have to, even if you're not there, you don't have to check your cameras, you don't have to worry about inventories and checklists and different things like that, but have a full day with no stress. Mondays are our busiest day of the week. It's our most productive day of the week, and everyone comes and recharged.
Wow.
And I believe
our
consumers, our guests, look forward to Mondays because we weren't open on Sundays. So looking back at it, just kind of like my life, being raised in a farming family, and then the man, you know, closing his restaurant and me getting in the restaurant
mm-hmm.
business, you don't really connect the dots until you kind of look back at the story. But the Sunday thing, and now, you know, as you connect the dots, and now it was all for a better purpose.
Right. Wow, it's very powerful, Scott. How do you describe the Salad Station for someone who's unfamiliar with the brand, Scott? I mean, again, I'm sure they have a general idea. Maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, some of the popular items like on the menu, and maybe you could even talk about if you have a personal favorite on your own menu.
Yeah, so the best way I describe it is because it doesn't necessarily exist, and early on it was challenging to describe our concept is, and mm-hmm. I've landed on this. We're truly the most unique or the most creative customization restaurant you could possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So comparing it to other concepts, and I'm a fan of all the concepts, but the big thing right now is to be truly customizable.
Right.
Well,
right.
Our concept truly gives the guests the power to be truly customizable. So we
mm-hmm.
are a self-service gourmet salad concept with over 100 toppings, where
wow.
you can build as little as much of any meal you want. If you only
wow.
wanted 2 or 3 ounces of soup to go with your salad,
mm-hmm.
everything's weighed at the end. So
right.
you can make small portions, large portions. If you want a salad that's heavy shrimp, no one's telling you how much or how little to put on
right.
white almonds, on peanuts, on calamari olives. However
mm-hmm.
you want to build that salad, you're in full control over it. And the same thing with our soups. We offer a soup of the day along with 3 standard soups. And then we have a hot section that offers different sautéed vegetables and different toppings for your salads on hot proteins. But when you walk in, it's like a grown-up playground. And
right.
you're in full control of what you eat, and we weigh it on a scale at the end.
It's a great concept. How does Salad Station use technology today? And, you know, maybe you could talk, if you had any, like, learning lessons, Scott, from, you know, when COVID happened. It seems like, you know, the last 2 years, it's been hard to do a show without, you know, someone mentioning, you know, COVID and how they were able to pivot. But, you know, maybe we could start off a little bit with technology and how you're able to use that.
Yeah, I'd like to think that we are kind of call it here recently. We call ourselves a tech savvy company.
Mm-hmm.
We've certainly a lot of our days are trying to research new different technologies to integrate with, to leverage technologies. We utilize different types of technologies in every aspect of our business, back
mm-hmm.
of the house, from quality controls and food labeling to temperature
mm-hmm.
sensors of all of our refrigeration.
Mm-hmm.
Digital checklists to the front end experience, from loyalty to direct to consumer marketing, customer surveys.
Mm.
It's really
yeah.
hard to imagine a world where you don't have access to these tools, and
right.
I couldn't be more excited to expand. Really, we're trying to leverage technology to the most capabilities we can
mm-hmm.
come up with.
Wow. That's fantastic. You do kind of wonder, Scott, how they did it in the old days, right? You know, is, 30, 40 years ago, you know, before all this technology was available, you know, I mean, it just, I can hear the excitement in your voice and how you want to share that, you know, with your customers and share it with, you know, your franchisees. So I think that's really exciting. I guess, I mean, it's safe to say your industry is a big industry, and it's also a growing industry, Scott. It's like you mentioned earlier, I still find it hard sometimes to eat healthy. You know what I mean? When you're on the run, you know, sometimes it's hard to eat healthy. So I guess it's safe to say that your industry is big and it's growing.
Yeah, in comparison to other sectors of the restaurant world, QSR,
mm-hmm.
fast casual, it's
yeah.
probably, I don't know the statistics, it's probably smaller, but it might be the fastest growing. And then, you know, the underrated part of it is when you really think about it, and this applies to our own life before Salad Station, other type of salad concepts existed, a lot of people for lunch, they lean on a sandwich for a lighter version of a lunch, a quick lighter version of
right.
a lunch.
Right.
And when if you, I really believe there's a lot of blue ocean in front of the salad sector.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I really believe there's a number, I don't know the size of this, of the market sector, but there
mm-hmm.
is a big chunk of it that could come from the sandwich chain side, that people in these communities are getting a sandwich as their version of a lighter, healthier version of a quick lunch. And it's just because there's no other
yeah.
options available. So I think there's huge upside, even from
yep.
other sectors, that people are dining in those restaurants, because
mm-hmm.
there's not the option of a salad.
Right. I like how you use the term Blue Ocean, Scott. It's one of my favorite books, you know, and I thought about that too, you know, as I was studying your model. Here's a tough question for you. I don't know if you could answer it off the cuff, but what's been one of the most interesting things that's happened to you since launching Salad Station, Scott? I'm sure you have 100 stories, but I mean, does anything kind of stand out over the years?
It is a tough question, and yeah. I got to be honest with you, probably a lot more things stood out before the pandemic, but
yeah.
The pandemic is like the big elephant now. Like, that's
sure.
all, whatever yeah. happened before the pandemic is
right, exactly.
foggy
right,
at best.
I get it.
but I will say this, the pandemic opened doors for us that we didn't know would exist.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I will share, and I guess this is interesting, ever since we started Salad Station, we started with my dad telling us, I don't know if there's 62 people that's going to eat salads. Then we go to the next town and do it. And every time we opened, it was like it was a question, like, does this concept have legs? Is this a successful restaurant?
Right.
Or we always had something to prove. And to date, we've opened 26 locations. And every single time leading up to it, I still have that. I wouldn't call it doubt. But
yeah.
maybe a chip on my shoulders, but I want to prove that this is going to be successful. I never felt successful.
Right.
And for the first time in the life of Salad Station, and maybe in my entire life, when we felt like we were getting through the pandemic and
mm-hmm.
we were getting to the end of the pandemic, and it hasn't been that long
yeah.
ago.
Right.
We knew we were going to get out of this without losing a single restaurant. For that one glimpse of a moment, I felt the closest thing to feeling successful I've ever felt. And
wow.
it wasn't because we had 500 restaurants opening. It's because
right.
at the beginning of the pandemic, I didn't know we were going to have a business left.
Right.
I didn't know if we would
yeah.
even exist.
Mm-hmm.
And being a self-serve concept now, I'm very proud of this. Way prior to the pandemic, our concept required people to wear gloves to come in. We pride
mm.
ourselves on cleanliness, food
right.
sanitation, gourmet. We're a gourmet experience. And so
right.
we had a vision. Like, we even, when we asked, we surveyed people, like, what do you think if you had to wear a glove to come in our restaurant? And some people said, well, that's a little crazy. On our
mm-hmm.
end, we ultimately decided it would be kind of a novelty thing. It would be something that
right.
children and people say, that's the restaurant that is, they're so clean and so gourmet that they make you wear
right.
restaurants. I mean, wear gloves. Now looking at it, that's the standard. Yeah, you know,
right,
so
right.
things have changed, but we were doing those things prior to that. But by far,
that's
my
incredible.
Most proud moment is the fact that we got out of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Not a single franchise closed. That's when I really felt the most successful out of that. There was never-ending challenges to the pandemic. We,
mm-hmm.
I hate to say this because I just told you that we believe we're a tech-savvy company, but we did
yeah.
not have an online ordering app when the pandemic
right.
hit. We had,
yeah.
just like every small growing restaurant, we
mm-hmm.
wanted to.
Right.
Maybe we couldn't afford to or wasn't a priority, but within 48 hours after, I think I have it journaled down as maybe March 12th, but
wow.
48 hours after we realized they shut everything down, like, we had an online ordering for our franchisees.
That's
we
incredible.
Literally, me, our director of operations, and our IT guy didn't sleep. We said, you know what, we have to figure
yeah.
this out. And we weren't doing a ton, you know, and
mm-hmm.
but we launched online ordering within 48 hours. Salad Station, we had some other challenges that were maybe more unique to our business model. We
mm-hmm.
had to multiple states. We had to write letters to the governors asking
mm-hmm.
for variances in their protocols and procedures. And we laid out our procedures that we do require gloves. All the food safety protocols we have, we laid that out, and we got variances for our restaurants to operate close to our concept and our business model.
Right.
So, I mean, a lot of that stuff, looking back, I'm really proud of. It was like,
oh yeah,
we just went to work. We worked really hard, and really, really, really proud that it seems like we're out of it. And all of our restaurants survived and are back to being very successful.
Wow, that's an amazing, amazing response, Scott. What types of characteristics do you look for in your franchisees, Scott? You know, we mentioned some of them early on, but is there anything else that's important to you before taking on a new franchisee?
The two biggest things that stand out to me, and it just really resonates with our family. But mm-hmm. we really look for people who are really hardworking. And mm-hmm. that doesn't mean you have to chop every salad or you have to cut every head of romaine. But overall, just the way you live your life, whether it's, you know, whatever job you do, whatever you do, but just by nature, you're really hardworking. And the second thing is, and this goes back to our family values, is we want somebody that's going to be very generous. You're passionate about serving others, and you want to bring value to your part of the country. It's not someone that says, I think I can make a lot of money if I open a store in Orlando. But someone that says, Orlando needs this concept. We don't have a healthy, fast, approachable, kind option in Orlando. I want to bring this to the Orlando market. But somebody that's really hardworking, and but they have that generous mindset that not that they want to open this for themselves, but they want to open this to share this with their town and their communities and their part of the country to live in.
Wow, that's powerful. What's the training like, Scott? I mean, once you decide, you know, that you do indeed like them, you know, they like you and they do want to come on board as a franchisee, how does the training work? I mean, do they come out to corporate for that, or, you know, maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
It's probably fairly comparable to other mm-hmm. franchises. Not that I know mm-hmm. a lot about other franchises. I tell, we shoot people straight with in Discovery Days. We say, look, I have a great team of people that have worked with Smoothie King and Jimmy John's and Raising mm-hmm. Cane's. You name them. We have great teams of operators that have experience. But I know farming. I know my restaurants. I know salad station. Mm-hmm. That's the only jobs I've ever had.
But
with that said, we conduct 5 classroom sessions, classroom/video sessions, and then we do roughly about 20 days on site. We have a great training department, probably mm-hmm. one of our better departments. We really want people prepared before a restaurant opens. We're on site for 7 days, or to be exact, 4 days prior and 3 days on, and depending after that, our ops team then takes over, but they're on site multiple weeks after that too. Probably kind of standard from a lot of other type concepts.
Mm-hmm.
We found it to be very successful this way. We kind of reevaluate each time and feel like mm-hmm. if the franchisee, was the staff, was the team, was the manager prepared for this. And we're really proud and we're really happy that by the time we leave off site, if we don't feel like this business is too overwhelming and we spent more of the time on site really helping them run the store than teaching them how to fish, then we will stay mm-hmm. longer. Right now, I guess one good thing about being a smaller company is we're really flexible on our 20 on-site sessions we do. We prefer if you come to one of our corporate stores here in Hammond.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we have two franchisees doing their training in our Jackson, Mississippi location, our Flowood, Mississippi location. That franchisee is a great franchisee of ours. And our team goes up there. It's an added benefit to have us in their stores. And they take it as the franchisee, I think, takes it as a compliment that we like that we approve of new people training in their store mm-hmm. as well. So being flexible, being smaller, we are flexible. And right now the franchisee is coming from Arkansas training. So we, you know, said, well, instead of coming all the way down here, let's, they have a connection to Jackson and mm-hmm. and the same thing with we have a franchisee training for Irving, Texas that's training in our Jackson market as well. So that may change where it needs to be in Hammond, but right now we're very flexible of how and where and how we schedule the 20 on-site sessions.
That's great. The thinking of a typical day, Scott, you know, it must be nice. I mean, it's not a business where you have to be there, you know, like a Dunkin' Donuts at, you know, 5 or 4 in the morning. And I imagine there's probably a lot of prep, you know, in the early part of the day. And I mean, maybe if there is such a thing, you know, you could talk a little bit about, you know, what is a typical day like as a salad station franchisee?
Sure. It's ironic you mentioned Dunkin' or donuts, because the one part of the history of salad station I kind of just abbreviated and didn't talk about. But mm-hmm. when I was 8 or 10 years old, in midst of the retail side of my parents opened a donut shop. And that played a huge role when you connect those dots, when you say 4 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., I'll remember my dad at the ballpark watching me play baseball till 9 or 10 o'clock and having to get up at 2 a.m. to make donuts because they own this donut shop. And then on top of that, getting there at 2 a.m. and having a sticky note on the door saying, I can't come in today. And even at 8 or 10 years old, knowing what that did to my dad just plays a huge role. And it played a huge role. And when we envisioned Salad Station, I didn't want any Salad Station owner to feel the way my dad did and the way that my mom felt being a part of that.
Right.
And luckily, they sold that donut shop several years later because of the grind and the stress and toll it took on our family.
Yeah.
And it was a good investment for them, but it, like my mom says, it didn't. They would have gave it away because it was that business model and those hours drained our family.
Oh yeah.
So Salad Station, we're 70% lunch sales Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the family friendly hours.
Mm-hmm.
I would say our average franchise owner is getting to their stores mid-morning. A lot of them enjoy doing the catering deliveries. We've gotten really big in catering where people would order a complete salad bar for their office. We have a lot of franchisees that they enjoy that, bringing it to doctor's office and interaction with that. But the others, you'll find them if you walk in a store, 11, 12, 1 o'clock, they're behind our serving stations, maintaining our high quality, interacting with guests. A lot of our franchisees, we teach this, but we love to give out free cookies to kids and children eating with us. So a lot of our franchisees love walking around, and if they see a child eating, they'll go and offer them a cookie with the parents' permission. So, but they enjoy the family-friendly hours. They enjoy being there. 11 to 2 is our peak hours, but like I said, get there mid-morning. Shortly after that, mid-afternoon, they could – if they need to go pick up their kids from school or daycare or bring them to activities, they have that flexibility. They also have that flexibility to come back that afternoon and set their staff up with reminders maybe from the day of different things that maybe need to be cleaned or extra attention or prep, that type of thing. So a typical day of a Salad Station franchise owner has a lot of flexibility, but it's heavily geared towards the lunch hours.
That's great. The in studying your background, Scott, you know, I mentioned to you, you know, is you're definitely an entrepreneur. And the majority of our listeners, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. You know, most of them have it in their mind that, you know, they want to get into franchising, most of them for the first time. And it's a little bit overwhelming, I think, in the early phases, because there seems like there's so much out there today to choose from. I think they say in the U.S. there's like 3,500 different types of systems. From everything that you've learned up to this point, what advice would you give to our listeners in their quest to buy a franchise?
I think number one is, does it solve a problem for your town? I'm always in the business of trying to solve a problem or trying to bring value. So when you're looking at, it doesn't matter if it's a restaurant, a different sector franchise, is there a need? If there's a need, go to the next step. If there's a franchise in that sector of your town that is needed, go to the next step of looking at that type of business if there's a franchise. From there, you know, start your due diligence, I recommend if there's 3, 4, 5 of them, look at all of them. If you're capable of going discovery dates for all of them, do that. But then when you get past all that, when you kind of narrow it down to a certain franchise, number one, I think you have to talk to the current franchise owners as many as you can. We're very upfront in our discovery days. We want you to look past the bells and whistles and the stage lights. We want you to look at what is it like to own a business, a small business? What are the challenges of a small business? What is it like to be a franchise owner? Because that's different too. If you want the freedom to create whatever you want, franchising is not for you. You know, open your own restaurant. If you want to learn from our mistakes and save money because we've already wasted money on those mistakes, look into our franchise. But the bigger part of it is, what is it like to be a small business owner? The current challenges of that. Pull back the curtains. Look look on your worst day. On your worst day, ask a franchisee what their worst day is, and can you live with that? I'll never forget. We opened a corporate store in Baton Rouge, and I was we had a terrible time staffing that store, and I was driving home, which is about a 45-minute drive. And I was just, and this is a corporate store, and I was just beating myself up. And this is early on, I think in 2016. Like, this is, you know, this is exactly opposite of our dream job.
Right.
I looked down, it was 5 p.m. And it was 5 p.m. I was driving home, and I've just spent the first 8 years of my life in a restaurant where I had that same feeling at midnight. And I was like, okay, well, this isn't that bad. It's still daylight. I'm still going on my family. At 5 p.m., and that's when I was like, okay, even the South Station's worst day, different from a typical restaurant's worst day. But that's not a sales pitch for South Station, but do your research on the behind the scenes on the very worst day you possibly can. Ask a franchisee is, and if the worst day, you know, whatever that is, make your decision on that.
That's powerful. Yeah, I've never heard that in 15 years of doing the podcast, guy. I think it's a great response and advice to the question. So for the final question, Scott, I can ask you, because you're the president of the Salad Station. I mean, where do you see Salad Station? I mean, if you can look into a crystal ball, maybe 3 years, 5 years down the road, where do you see the company?
The furthest that we are currently looking at is about a year and a half out. We have a map. We have a path to 50 locations open by 2023. Obviously, we aspire to be much, much larger than that. Our vision is to be the freshest brand in the southern United States by working with all of our hearts and staying true to our farming roots. Right now, we have a roadmap to 50 locations for 2023. End of 2023, we believe we have really a good chance of getting there. Our pipelines are pretty full. We have a lot in development. When we get to 50 locations, we know we'll have a big celebration. We know that will open the doors to a lot of other things. And I don't know if the next step will be at 100 or 500, but the listeners, and you could count on a next step after that being much larger.
Right. That's fantastic. What's the best way, Scott, for our listeners to get more information on the Salad Station? Of course, is the franchise opportunity, but even the product itself. Are there any websites you kind of want to direct them to?
Yes. So www.thesaladstation.com. I think you could probably spell it whatever way you want. It could be saladstation.com. It could be thesaladstation.com, saladstation.com.
Okay.
I think all of them will direct you back to our Salad Station website with our menus and franchising.
That's fantastic. Well, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed talking to you today, Scott, and I would already like to invite you back, you know, in another year or two as you continue to grow, because I think this is a wonderful franchise model, and it was a pleasure to talk to you today.
Yeah, Martin, I really enjoyed it. Didn't really know what to expect, and I really enjoyed speaking with you, and I hope the listeners potentially learn something.
Thanks so much, Scott. It was great to talk to you, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews. Coming up on segment two, you're going to hear what every franchisepreneur needs to know before buying a franchise. We're going to play a clip from our popular Great Quotes in Franchising podcast right here on Franchise Interviews.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? Franchise Interviews, an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com. Or you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Today's Great Quote in Franchising is being brought to you by
Franchise Teacher.
Would you like to know how to franchise your concept or grow your franchise business?
Meet the experts at Franchise Teacher.
The goal of Franchise Teacher is to teach, coach, consult, and advise. The team of experts at Franchise Teacher will evaluate your business model and present you with a winning business strategy.
Franchise Teacher will help you decide whether or not your concept works and if it's franchisable. Franchise Teacher is proud to have over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors.
Franchise Teacher are developers of over a dozen franchise systems, which include brick and mortar as well as home-based concepts of nearly 3,000 combined franchise locations.
Whether you need to add more units or get more customers, Franchise Teacher can help. We will teach.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn our proven system.
Coach.
Franchise Teacher will help you provide a game plan to succeed.
Consult.
Franchise Teacher will make sure you stay on track.
And advise.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn from our over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors. Take advantage of our free, no-obligation phone consultation. Simply go to franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
That's franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott, the president of Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting Franchise Interviews many years now, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear from Nick Friedman, who is the founder of College Hunks Hauling and Junk and Moving Franchise Opportunity. And Nick said something really quite brilliant on our show that we haven't heard in over a decade of doing franchise interviews. We started speaking about the four F's of franchising, and interesting enough, we ended up with five F's of franchising as we were doing the interview with Nick. And, you know, in marketing, we talk about the four P's of marketing, which is product, price, promotion, and place. So I thought this was really brilliant what Nick said. So here we go with Nick Friedman, the founder of College Hunks Hauling and Junk Moving Franchise Opportunity.
Sorry.
What, you know, the majority of our listeners, we call them, Nick, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. What types of characteristics do you look for in your franchisees?
You know, what I like to say is there's four F's when considering a franchise, which is also, I guess, starts with a letter F. So, you know, there's four F's that come out of a franchise. And I think this is what a prospective franchise should think of when they're considering what franchise they want to pursue. And this is, quite frankly, I think what franchisors should consider when they're evaluating a prospective franchisee. So the first F is fit, You know, do they fit? In other words, do they have transferable skills that can make them effective at this business? Have they done anything in their prior professional or personal lives that would make them be successful in this type of business? The second piece is the family side. In other words, does their family support them in them pursuing this endeavor, whether it's their husband or wife or kids or parents? You know, do they believe in them? Because you don't want things to get tough in their inner circle to say, I told you so. You want them to, you know, kind of cheer them on to get through it. The financial piece is important. In other words, are they capitalized to be able to invest in the opportunity, and do they have realistic financial expectations? And then the last F is the fun factor. You know, can we have fun working with this individual? You know, franchising very much like a partnership, even though that's not typically called that. So it, you got to have, you know, an alignment of vision and values to be able to enjoy working together. So that's really what we look for. You know, we want people that believe in the secret sauce that we've already developed. We don't want somebody to come tell us that they think it should be done differently. We want them to tell us that they believe in what we've created. And sure, we would, you know, want to continuously improve and encourage ideas, but not, you know, we want folks that believe in the system and are going to execute the system rather than trying to shortcut success by doing it, you know, doing it their own way. And I think that's, you know, really no different in our system than any other franchise model that, that is going to be successful long term. They need to really take into account those factors.
That's great, Nick. We have this great quotes in franchising podcast. Anytime we hear, you know, Michael Gerber's been in there a couple times, but we're going to put that one in there because I haven't heard that in over a decade, and I think that's great advice to our listeners. It's really fantastic because it's true. I mean, you could really your business, you could teach to anybody, couldn't you? I mean, pretty much, you know. It's interesting in putting those factors in there, you know, like family support.
support, you know, and even have fun. I haven't heard that, you know, but it should be an enjoyable business. And, you know, because it is a stressful situation for the customers, I guess you got to be able to put a smile on your customer's face, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, you know, as you know, there's over 3,000 franchise opportunities out there. So, mm-hmm. you know, what's going to separate one from the other? It's got to be something that you can enjoy. And I guess I'll grab another F out of there. I'm on a roll here. Fulfillment. You know, is it something that,
yes.
You know, we're going to be fulfilled doing day in and day out? Because I think franchising is a lot like a gym membership. You know, if you join a gym, you've got fitness goals. You're getting access to all types
right.
of equipment, personal trainers, coaches, workout groups, but you still got to go and show up and do the work. So if you buy a franchise, you're getting access to the business model in a box. You're getting access to trainers, coaches, you know, fellow franchisees that you can, you know, hold each other accountable with, but you still got to show up and put in the effort to execute that business model. So that's where I think those factors come into play.
Once you decide that, you know, you do like them, you know, and they like you, Nick, you know, and there is a fit, you know, what is the training like? I mean, do they typically come to Florida for training? How does that work? If you'd like to hear that whole interview with Nick Freeman of the College Hunks Hauling and Junk Moving Franchise Opportunity, all you have to do is go to franchiseinterviews.com, go to our Franchise Interviews by Category page, and then go to our Home Repair and Improvements page, and you'll be able to listen to that whole show with Nick Freeman. It was really a fantastic interview. It's great to finally have Nick on the show. And lastly, we'd just like to thank everyone for making this podcast such a big hit. It's hard to imagine we've been doing it now over 10 years, and it's just amazing to see where the podcast is gone. So thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, sponsored by Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.